Watch and Learn by SoSpace. Read by Hana Nobira. As always, Feely and Keely share third watch, crouched close to the embers of the fire in the small hours of the night. Thorin claims it's merely the way the shifts have fallen, that they're always the ones watching over the final hours until dawn, but Feely's fairly sure that it's just because the older dwarves don't want to have to interrupt their sleep. If the whippersnappers will do what they're told, let them do it. Not that he particularly minds. This quest is claustrophobic and too intense, friends and relatives bickering and joking every waking hour, and so it's almost a relief to have a few hours alone with his brother. Just them, the stars, and Bomber's snoring. Tonight, however, Feely is so tired. He'd never admit it to anyone, but the journey is starting to take its toll. He's not used to roving the wilds, to the endless riding and wading through mud. He's soaked through when it rains and too hot when the sun's in the sky. And tonight, there's nothing he wants to do less than stand watch. But he'd never say, because he feels Thorin's watchful gaze on his back, assessing and wondering. And he won't disappoint his uncle. Not now, not ever. Keely, fortunately, can tell. The moment Feely's eyelids start to droop, he chuckles softly and doesn't ask permission before pulling his brother's head down to his lap. Feely's so tired he can do little more than blink sleepily up at him, and the upside-down Keely says, "Go to sleep, brother. You're no use to anyone if you can't keep your eyes open." Feely needs no more encouragement, and he dozes off to the feeling of Keely's hands stroking gently through his hair. He dreams of home, of warm furs, and the smell of meat on the fire, of his brother's touch and the wind in his hair. He drifts back into wakefulness when it's still dark. He can still hear Beaufort's snorting breaths, still hear the crackle of the fire's embers, and in a half-aware haze, he feels a gentle tug at his hair, at one of the slender braids that frame his face. He doesn't stir, not yet, because he feels Keely's warmth beneath him and above him and around him. He's not willing to let that feeling go, not yet, because it's fleeting enough out in the wild. He can feel Keely's fingers winding around his braids, pressing them between his fingertips, and Feely opens his eyes. Keely's gaze is intense, his forehead furrowed, and he's got a hand twisted in his own hair at the same time as he's poking Feely. Feely can't stop the amused smile that creeps across his lips. "Keely," he says, "what are you doing?" Keely drops his brother's hair with a start. "Nothing," he says, and his cheeks flush red in the firelight. Feely stays right where he is, his head heavy in his brother's lap. Even upside down, Keely's expression is sheepish. "Keely," Feely says, quiet and playful, "were you playing with my hair?" "No," Keely answers immediately and narrows his eyes. "Why would I do that?" Feely's starting to get the picture. He reaches up, winds his fingers through his brother's hair, tugs him downwards. "Brother," he says, and brushes his thumb across Keely's stubble. "Do you want me to teach you?" Keely couldn't be redder if he tried. It's endearing, and Feely doesn't let go, and Keely's eyes are embarrassed and willing. Feely sits up, turns round to face his brother. He tugs the clasp off the end of one of his braids, separates the strands, and he reaches out, takes Keely's hands, pulls them close. "Unravel it," he says, and keeps his brother's gaze, heavy and dark in the night. Slowly. And Keely does as he's told, dirty fingertips slipping strand over strand, fascinated despite himself. Feely watches him and says, "You see how it works?" "Sort of," Keely answers, and his hands falter. The braid is unwoven. The night breeze gusts loose hair around Feely's cheek. "Now fix it," Feely says, and he finds himself smiling at the startled look in Keely's eyes. "Go on. It's not that hard." He covers his brother's hands, watches as Keely's eyes flick up and then away. He can feel the warmth of Keely's skin against his cheek, and he says, "Three strands. Take the left, put it over the middle. That's the new middle. Put the right over that." Keely's hands are hesitant to begin with, and there's a shallow furrow creasing the middle of his forehead, but Feely keeps his hands close to his brother's and feels as his fingers grow more confident. There's a smile on Keely's lips when he finishes, and he picks the clasp up from Feely's lap, snaps it round the end. He looks absurdly proud of himself, and Feely slides his touch on the braid. It's a little lumpy, but not bad for a first attempt. And Keely slips his hands away, says, "Sorry." Feely looks up at him. "Why?" Keely's cheeks are flushed. He gestures uselessly between them. "This. It's stupid. I should know." He trails off. "Yes," Feely says, smiling. "You really should." He touches Keely's cheek, feeling the roughness of his stubble, watching his brother lean ever so slightly into his touch. And they're surrounded by the others and supposed to be on watch. But he can't help himself. He leans forward, presses a quick kiss to Keely's lips. "Now let me," he says with a grin. He works deftly, delicately, weaving dark hair in and around itself in neat, tight braids. He can feel Keely watching him, eyes dark in the firelight. But he doesn't return the gaze until he's done. He tugs the clasps from the end of his mustache, slips them around the slender braids that now frame his brother's face. Keely's eyes are warm. "All those years in front of the mirror paid off," he says quietly, teasingly. Feely tugs at one of the new braids, smiles at Keely's wince. "You're welcome," he answers. Keely touches his cheek, plays with the loosening braids in his mustache. "Thank you," he says in return, and his eyes smile. Keely kisses him lightly, lips chapped but warm, and the clasps in his hair bump against Feely's chin. Fini.